From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky, Small World, the Carroll College's student podcast.
Big Sky, Small World, I can only have Montana.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome back to the pod. I am Riley.
I'm Kylie.
And this is still Two Mics, One Brain Cell. Today we got an interesting one for you. We're going to change it up a little bit because I feel like our questions are getting a little repetitive. So we're going to do some ranking games today. Kylie, what are we ranking?
We're going to be ranking our top fast food choices, candy, road trip snacks, and our favorite artists.
Yeah, and we're going to argue why that ours is the best.
Argue.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm not going to argue.
You're not going to argue? Really? You don't want to? Oh, really? Okay. All right. So what do we want to do first?
Let's do fast food.
Okay. Fast food. You go first. Let's do 3, 2, 1. Like from the bottom to the top.
From the bottom?
Mm-hmm. From the top.
I don't know. I couldn't really think of fast food places. So I just kind of said whatever.
Let's hear these fast food places.
I thought of.
These fast food places are not local to, or like they don't have to be in Helena. They can be all over the United States.
I said Taco Bell for 3, just because we've had it recently.
Okay, that's a solid choice. Honestly, very, very solid choice. We did have Taco Bell like twice last week. So that is a solid choice, especially for Helena, Montana.
Yeah, you have slim options.
I did put McDonald's because we did have that at least twice last week as well. It's just a staple.
Put that on my list.
Wow. Yeah, McDonald's is a staple. I mean, late night, go to McDonald's, get either some ice cream, get number 7, ketchup only. Kylie likes ketchup and pickles only. She's a pickle kind of girl. I don't understand it, but oh well.
Okay, what's your number 2?
Number 2, I got In-N-Out Burger.
Mm-mm. I did Chick-fil-A.
Oh, that's a solid choice, though. Honestly, that's a solid choice. In-N-Out's just way better. But
I knew you were going to do that one.
I had to.
No.
Wait till you hear my number 1, because it's the best.
Is it going to be...
No, but not yet. We'll get there.
Okay.
I think mine's better than Chick-fil-A, for sure. What do you get from Chick-fil-A?
The nuggets and the lemonade.
Okay. That's what I ordered when I was...
Waffle fries.
Yeah, that's what I ordered when I was about 5 years old. The waffle fries are amazing there. I cannot deny the waffle fries. But In-N-Out, the burgers are just amazing. You know, a double double with a buttered bun.
Not my favorite.
Buttered bun with some spread with nothing else on it. So good. All right, number 1, what do you got?
I said Panera. Been on that lately.
You have. Panera is a solid choice.
Panera is also new to Helena, so it's kind of. Helena.
Yeah, that is true. I went way outside of Helena to go to find this number 1 answer because I don't think the top fast food places are anywhere near Helena.
Mm-hmm.
So for my number 1, can we get a drum roll, please? Raising Cane's.
That's what it's called.
Yep. Raising Cane's.
Not surprised. The bread is good.
The bread is amazing.
I'll say the bread's good.
The bread is amazing. What you have to do is you have to get either... I'm a box combo kind of guy, so you get 4 chicken strips with 1 sauce, and you have an option between, usually you get, there's coleslaw that comes with it, and bread. That's usually the full box combo. In reality, the coleslaw is not the move. So you replace the coleslaw with another piece of bread,
mm-hmm.
so you get 2 pieces of bread, and then you cut a hole, like in the bread, put the chicken in it, put some cane sauce on it, put some fries, and make a sandwich with the chicken and the bread, and it is just incredible.
Mm. Do you get a drink or anything?
Oh, I do get some Raisin Cane's sweet tea.
Okay.
Have to. And Kylie's over here throwing up at the idea of sweet tea because I don't understand. But anyway. All right, next category. We got some road trip snacks. I hope ours might be the same because we've taken a couple road trips together, but I doubt it because Kylie's snack taste is interesting. What do we got for number 3?
I would say Doritos. Or chips.
What kind of Doritos?
Just the, I don't know.
Are you looking up chips right now? There's like 4
the
main.
The red ones.
The red.
But not the spicy ones.
Nacho cheese Doritos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your 3?
I got some ranch sunflower seeds. Because I'm typically the one who's driving. And so I got to stay awake. And if I get Spitz, like the brand Spitz, I can stay awake because I have a little bit of caffeine in them. However, Spitz seeds, like the seed quality is not very good, you know. But David sunflower seeds, I get a good seed every time. Like sometimes I get some nasty seeds.
But do they not have caffeine in it?
No, I don't think so.
Why don't you just do both at the same time?
Well, then I get a bad seed and a good seed, and that just wouldn't taste good in my mouth. Next one. What do we got for number two?
This one I thought of like when I go on trips with my mom. Mm-hmm. We usually get donuts. Like just donuts.
Just donuts? What kind of donuts?
Just either the chocolate or powder coated one. I got to look it up. The Hostess.
Oh, the Hostess. That's a great answer. Honestly, I agree with you. That is such a great answer.
Yeah.
I put a terrible answer for this one. I regret my answer. I went with Cherry Coke. I
almost put a drink.
Are you still dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I almost did. Okay. I didn't. Okay. But they crossed my mind.
Cherry Coke, I think it's just a staple.
It is. I agree with that one.
It's got to be in a bottle, though. Can't be in a can because it'll spill on the way. What do we got for number one?
I said my sweet tart ropes.
Ooh, good answer. I have that for a different category. Surprisingly. Oh. I put the Fritos barbecue twists.
Oh, yeah.
The road trip, like chip. That is a chip of a road trip. And
have you ever had a bugle?
Stop. That's a horn that you play. It's not, that's nothing.
Do you know what that is?
Look up a bugle. It's a horn. That's like, I feel like it's a French horn or
something.
Look
up bugle snacks.
Bugle. Oh, those.
Have you ever had those?
I know what they look. Bugle.
I know.
It's a horn.
It looks like a horn. I agree. No. Look up bugle snack.
I'm going to read this for the podcast. A bugle is a brass instrument like a small trumpet, typically without valves or keys, used for military signals.
Now look up bugle snack. No. I don't know. We could be saying it wrong, but that's just how I've heard it.
I have had these. They're not my favorite.
They're not my favorite, but that's what I.
They have so many different kinds. There's ranch. There's cinnamon toast crunch. There's original nacho cheese. I feel like interesting. All right. I hope you can guess my number one for this next category. We got music artists.
Okay.
Okay, number one.
Number one or number three?
Sorry, number three.
Number three for me is Taylor Swift.
I'm not a huge Swiftie anymore. It's Taylor. I'm a Swiftie.
I'm more her like old music type country.
Okay.
But I wouldn't, like, I'm a Swiftie, but I'm not like, oh my God.
Okay. I kind of have a tie for third. So I put two artists because before I met Kylie, I was very into rap. And so like I'm still very into rap, but she has changed me a little bit into country. So I've gotten into country and like some folk music a little bit, just vibing with it. So for number three, I got a tie between, this is going to offend some rapper fans because I don't know, he doesn't produce that many songs lately. He had a couple good songs back in the day, but for number three, I got a tie between Chance the Rapper and Zach Bryan. Very interesting combo. Mm. I think Zach Bryan's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of him. I just feel like, I mean, each artist has their own kind of way of music.
Some of his songs are really sad, and I
just
like that.
I don't like his.
Like, I don't like his sad songs, but his upbeat, like, faster songs I really like.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't say I don't like all of his songs. They're not my favorite.
Midnight,
like, I'm not going to just.
Revival.
I'm not going to just play it to listen to him sing.
Oh, okay. What do we got for number two?
Two. I have a list.
Oh, wow.
They're all kind of similar, I want to say.
Let's hear it.
So I have Tucker Wetmore, Hudson Westbrook, Ty Myers, and Zach Top.
So you have a four-way tie for second on Kylie's.
I just like, but the thing is I don't like their whole album. I just like certain songs from them. So that's why I just put them all together. Oh. My top one, I like a lot of their songs.
Okay. So. No, that's fair. Very, very fair. Yeah. Funny, actually. Fun fact. Tucker Wetmore. Went to Montana Technological University, which is about 50 minutes south of here. Mm-hmm. he played football there.
Isn't he technically like the Morgan Wallen sound alike? Have you ever heard that?
I haven't heard that because I just don't pay attention. So like that's
One time I was scrolling on TikTok and he was live and he had a tech shirt on. I was like, no way. Like, no one has just a random tech shirt. So I had to investigate. And so he played football there in 2018. Mm-hmm. I think.
For my number two, I got
Noah Kahan.
Yeah, Noah Kahan. Love his songs. I love his songs. Put me in a good mood. I listen to him in the gym a little bit, you know, to get the vibes, like, going. His upbeat stuff, his sad stuff, love it all. He's got songs for every mood. Okay, number one, what do you got?
Morgan Wallen.
Duh.
come on.
Duh.
If you know me, duh. That's an obvious answer.
Duh. Okay, that was the easy answer. Okay, my number one. Yours? What's my number one guess?
Drake.
Yo, we got a winner. Oh. We got a winner. Drizzy. Drizzy Drake. Oh, I love Drake so much. Besides the allegations, those are suspect. But
I do like some of his songs. Like, I'm just an older music type person, not like 19.
He has good old music and he has good new music.
Yeah, I'm more just like his old music.
I'm just an all-time Drake fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Spotify.
See, I'm an all-time Morgan Wallen fan.
Spotify last year, I was the 99th percentile of listeners. Oh, yeah. So I think that completes our artist list.
Mm-hmm. Last category?
Last category.
Okay, what's yours? Number three.
Number three. I didn't actually get to number three because I was like...
Okay, what's your two?
So these are specific. They have to be put in the freezer for like an amount of time. It is Reese's peanut butter cups in the freezer. They have to be frozen.
It has to be frozen.
It has to be frozen. It has to be. You got to get that crunch from the chocolate, you know?
I agree with that.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. I didn't really put these in order, but I like... Airheads sometimes.
You do like Airheads. Are the sour ones or
no?
You did just like sour ones.
I don't know. I just know I like Airheads.
The funny thing is I know Kylie a lot better than she knows herself. So it's really funny when she tells me she doesn't like things when she eats them.
Oh, like the little bite size ones?
Yes.
I do like those, but those are like for movies.
Yes, I know.
But like road trip type or just like buying them at the store?
Yeah, regular candy.
Just regular Airheads.
Okay. Favorite flavor?
I don't know. Not grape.
It's definitely grape.
Not grape.
I just kidding.
Anything but that.
The mystery flavor is the best.
Okay.
Two. Number two, you go.
I said nerds or smarties, nerd clusters or regular nerds.
Solid.
And those can be grape, which is weird, but that would make sense for me because I'm
Yeah. Anyway, that's just confusing. Anyway, so we got number two for me is definitely red vines. I could eat a tub of red vines all day. And red vines are better than Twizzlers, settling the debate right now. Do you have input
on
that?
No, I'm just indifferent. Like, I don't know if I have like a favorite over the other.
Red vines taste like rubber on the bottom of my shoe.
How do you know what that tastes like?
Don't ask.
Okay. Number one.
Number one. Can we say it together? Because I think it's the same answer.
Sure.
Please be the same answer. It's not the same answer. Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Sweet tart ropes.
No, that's what I put for my road trip snack.
Dude.
I put the trolley sour gummy worms.
We're staring at each other in awkward silence right now.
I put the sweet tart ropes as a road trip thing because I always get those with my mom.
Therefore, I consider them to be your favorite candy.
But
put them twice.
I also get the sour gummy worms.
Since when?
For candy? I have a whole bag of them.
That's true. I did buy her.
Or I had one.
I did buy her a giant bag of sour gummy worms.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
If I would have known to put the sweet tart ropes in both, then it would be a tie.
Okay.
But the sweet tart ropes might take over.
That's fair.
I don't know.
That's fair.
From this, I think I learned that I'm more a sour candy type person than chocolate.
I guess. I mean, yeah.
But I do love Hershey chocolate.
Yeah, you do. All right, continuing on. We got some breakfast foods. We got two new categories. We're going to do breakfast foods. Kylie, what do you got first? Third, sorry.
Oatmeal. But just like.
What?
I don't know. I've just been thinking about.
Okay. Would you put anything on your oatmeal? Please don't tell me you eat it just plain.
I put a lot of sugar in it and.
Okay. That's fair then.
That's what I put in it.
Brown sugar in oatmeal?
No.
Do you not like brown sugar?
I put just white sugar, cane sugar in there.
That might be racist, but.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. What's your third?
Third, I got biscuits and gravy. Last time I had biscuits and gravy was a rough night for me. It was about 1 a.m. at Shelley's. I spent most of the night in the bathroom, and I tried to eat a biscuit. Wasn't great. And I wasn't in the bathroom, going to the bathroom, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, that's what Shelley's is for. But I could always eat biscuits and gravy. It's just a solid staple food.
Okay. What's your second?
I got an omelet with ham, cheese, and ketchup.
Ugh, I don't get the ketchup thing. I don't understand that. That and like with hash browns or
and
whatever.
Bacon. No, and bacon for sure.
Okay. My second is my grandma's pancakes that she makes with a lot of butter. And then the sugar like seeps into the pancake with crispy bacon. But it has to be my grandma's pancakes. I don't know why, what she does, but.
It is better.
So good.
Solid. Solid choice. What's number one?
Ham and cheese omelet.
Nice. Good answer. I got mine, I have a Mickey Mouse pancake made by my grandma with the ears because she puts vanilla in her pancakes.
Something with grandmas.
I guess.
I don't know.
But with butter and syrup. Butter first, let them seep into the pancakes, yep. Get them a little moist.
Yeah, have to.
And syrup. All right, last category for the day.
Okay, dinners.
Dinners. I will go first.
Yep, third.
Third, because I am of Mexican heritage and Mexican descent. I had to put a Mexican meal on my top three.
Mm-hmm.
I got fajitas, carnitas. I got fajitas. I love when they bring out the steaming plate at a Mexican restaurant with your beans and rice. You kind of get to just make your own tacos right there. Love that. So, yeah.
Mine, I've been back into this a little bit. I took a little hiatus of steak. But I would put steak as my third.
As your third? Who am I talking? Oh, I know.
It's between my second and third.
I know what you're going to say.
I don't know. Surprisingly, I don't have Mexican food on here, which I'm very heavy. I love my...
Kind of makes me sad.
You love your quesadilla, beans and rice.
I don't know if that's Mexican food.
But I like my filet. Yeah. That's probably my third.
For my second, I've never actually had this, but I just know I would love it. A 12-ounce Wagyu filet.
12-ounce? I can't do more than 10.
It's okay.
That was a lot for me. That was a lot of steak for me.
Thank you for clarifying. I cut a 12-ounce Wagyu filet with garlic butter and
garlic.
A baked potato on the side.
I don't even need the baked potato. Just give me the filet.
I've had a regular filet, 12-ounce, and it's amazing with garlic butter.
Okay, well, if we're doing specific, I like this one restaurant in Texas where it's garlic-infused filet where they have, like, the garlic cloves in the steak. And I ate that so fast. Like, I don't know if I was breathing, to be honest, because I was done before my parents ate their food.
That's insane.
It was only a 6-ounce, so...
Kylie's very picky, so when she likes food, she devours it. Like, it's like I don't think she takes breaths while she eats.
If I really like it, yeah, no.
It's like a vacuum.
My second one is spaghetti. I love pasta.
Solid choice. What sauce?
For sauce with my spaghetti, I would have to do just red sauce with
ground beef because I'm usually the one that makes it. So
and then pepperonis.
And Hormel pepperonis in the package.
Which one?
They're called Hormel. It's the brand. I usually get like a sausage and I cut it up into slices and then like grill it and then put them in and they're really good. Thanks to my grandma for that recipe.
Okay. What's your number one?
Number one. You should know my number one. It's from a specific place. Wow.
I don't know. I can't think of anything right now.
All right. You're going to know as soon as I say the first word. Clam.
Oh, clam chowder from San Francisco Pure whatever.
Close enough. My number one is clam chowder in a bread bowl. Has to be in a bread bowl from Pier 39 in San Francisco. Because that is just, seafood there is unmatched. It is so good. It could be from any restaurant on Pier 39. It'll just taste amazing.
My number one is, this is always my meal I have for my last night at my house when I have to come back to school. So I usually have a baked potato with ham and broccoli. And then my grandma introduced us to the cheese sauce. It was originally Aunt Penny's cheese sauce. If you know what that is, that's basically what it is. But now that that's not a thing anymore, we have to make it ourselves. So I don't remember what Aunt Penny's tastes like, but it seems pretty good to me. So,
and just for the podcast, people who listened last time, it is confirmed not just Tostitos cheese sauce heated up in the microwave. It is actually made from actual real cheese.
Yeah, it's all of it. Yeah.
Well, I think we got a solid ranking. Yeah. I still cannot believe that steak is not your number one.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's not like we call it my last meal, quote unquote, when I go back.
It's the last supper.
It's my last supper.
That's insane. No, that's insane.
Kind of.
During Holy Week is crazy.
When I go from home back to school because I don't eat anything while I'm at school.
Kylie is the Messiah. So that's what she's saying.
So that's always that's been my favorite last meal I've ever had since starting college. Like, it's just routine. That's what I have.
Yeah, my last and first meal when I get home is Cane's. We have very different meals. Okay. Last category. We're just going to make it up on the spot.
Okay.
Okay. Desserts.
Oh, I liked that one.
We'll get there. That's my number one.
That's probably my number one.
Okay. So what's number three?
I would say ice cream.
I was going to say the same thing. Just like a staple. Like solid. I would get like a caramel sundae from McDonald's. Like, that's just a solid, like, I can go get that. Or, like, a Blizzard from Dairy Queen or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your two?
Number two, I'm just going to go with some, this is specific.
Okay.
Okay. Red velvet cake with not cream cheese frosting, with buttercream frosting, because cream cheese frosting is a sin. Anyway.
I would say a cake for my second one.
Okay.
I'm not a huge chocolate person when it comes to that.
Okay.
I'm more vanilla or red velvet, I would say. But I do make apparently a really good just cheesecake that my dad really likes with graham cracker crust. So that
I cannot do cheesecake. I don't think unless I would try it for you, I would try it.
It's really just the graham cracker that I really like. I'll just melt the butter, put that on there and eat that. So okay, what's your number one?
Okay, my number one is definitely a BJ's Pizookie.
What is that?
That's like in this cast iron pan. It's about the circumference of like a basketball. And they bring it out to you warm. So there's a cookie cooked inside of it. It can be a bunch of different kinds of cookies and ice cream. So they put 3 scoops of ice cream on top, and like it is just warm, gooey goodness, and it is so good. And you can choose to like get a bite of ice cream and cookie at the same time, eat one or the other. Like, it's just an amazing combination.
I would agree.
Yeah, Kylie had it, I think, one time.
Yeah, I've had it once. It was pretty good.
It was amazing. So that was definitely my number one. Is that your number one too?
I would, yeah. Yeah. It's the first thing I thought of.
It's a great.
I haven't had it in so long,
it's
though.
It's a great choice. And so, yeah, that's my number one for sure. Yeah, you can get a bunch of different kinds. There's like cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake, monkey bread, just regular chocolate chip, sugar cookie, like all this different stuff. And like, it is just amazing. So yeah, that is my number one. And I think that is all we have for you guys today. Kyle, you got anything else? No? Well, thank you guys for listening in today. And we should be back soon with some more stuff. We got a bunch of content we're publishing soon. We got the live event that we did a couple weeks ago that we're just finishing editing. And then we have this that we're going to edit. And then we have a couple more segments that we're going to record. But yeah, no, we're definitely going to get out more content before the end of the semester and even into summer, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it sounds good. Well, yep. We will catch you guys next time. Thank you for listening.
Big Sky Small World is sponsored by the Carroll College Communication Center.
Helping the Carroll and Helena communities with presentations, multimedia, and podcasting since 2020.
Find us in the library or email Director Alan Hansen at ahansen@carroll.edu.
Choo choo. Today we got quite a story to tell all you listeners of Big Sky Small World. This is the train station workshop, where as a newly hired conductor, I will be guiding a nonstop run through the numerous topics my mind seems to think is so important to fixate on. So, who will become the lucky individual to be allowed upon the train station at this third stop? Now, regardless if this guest is not here because they are pleading to be allowed in the train station, this guest did not bribe, he did not plead, he did not beg to be allowed into the train station. He is, in fact, had to be tracked down across the state of America. I know, there's 50 states, there's a lot of looking. And persuaded for 3 months straight upon the benefits that his knowledge would bring upon the masses. His time is more valuable than my Lego Halo collection. What little words that leave his mouth are layered beyond the human's mind.
Oh, yeah. Mac Daddy, we're live.
We're live, baby. Did I miss anything, perchance, or do you think I summed it up perfectly?
Oh, you summed it up. I live in Iowa. I had a glorious past, and now I'm here.
Well, you know what? That seems like you have a positive outlook on life, and I'm excited to share in that with you.
Oh, yeah. Very positive. I'm very enthusiastic for this podcast. Ready to get on into it.
It's good to hear your voice, and it's even better to spend this Saturday afternoon talking to one of my closest friends I've known since kindergarten. The only reason I brought you on here is because I want to talk about D&D today.
Okay. All right. You know, I can't even be sad that you did that, because that's my favorite conversation subject other than maybe lifting and track and field.
And maybe a little bit of diplomacy.
Oh, gosh. That game is it's tearing me apart, McLean.
What is D&D for those at home who are unaware?
Well, for you nerds who haven't played a role-playing game before, Dungeons & Dragons, well, it's sort of like acting out a novel. It's the best way I can describe it. Those books that are like, choose your own adventure. It'll give you like three options for what you can do. And then it says flip to page 18 if you choose to attack the ogre with a handkerchief, right? It's sort of like that, but it's a lot more flexible. It's like real life. So you can choose theoretically any decision. And there's a facilitator of the game who decides whether your actions are valid or not and what are the consequences of them. There is also a certain amount of randomness that's attached to that. So there's dice rolling, which is fun and exciting. There's also, you know, abilities and rules that give your character abilities and powers and fun. Yeah, so that's D&D. The game usually is about working together to accomplish a major goal. However, I've seen games that go totally sideways because one player is secretly evil and wants to stab the others in the back. Now, that's fine if you're into that sort of thing. There are also horror stories where people get really angry. But
who would ever want to do such a vile thing? It's mind-boggling, if I'm being honest.
You know, I can think of a couple people, you know, one of which has actually been on this podcast before, I believe.
How many appearances of this individual?
Oh, you know, not quite totally sure, but actually, you know, there's two individuals that I'm thinking of right now. Yeah, one of which I've talked to within the last 5 seconds. And the other was on it earlier, Alejandro Anguinos. Yes, infamous, yes. So I was a new dungeon master. And for those of you who don't know what a dungeon master, it's the facilitator. I told you about that. But it's kind of hard to DM and set up these scenarios. It's kind of like writing a book, but you don't know how it's going to end. So you have to plan for a lot of different things, and you have to improvise on the spot. And you got to make sure the players are into it and you're rewarding them, but also you can't just like let them have too much, then they become like spoiled children. Anyways, when I was a young dungeon master, I was completely taken advantage of by my players. For example, I'm just gonna, McLean, freaking, you were so annoying when I played with you as a player. I'm a new dungeon master, so I wanted you guys to be excited about the game. And you're like, all right, I want to create a character named Fat Dwarf.
Okay, let's put some respect on his name, because he is in the halls of Valhalla. Fat Dwarf. He's 4'5", weighs around 550 pounds, and can run a 40-yard dash in 2 seconds.
No. That's not conceivable, and a lot of that information is disputed by the Dungeon Master.
Okay, well, if we're going to be honest, it was like 5'2", 450, 7-second, 60-yard dash, but he was a legend amongst the battlefield, and in fact, he's the only character to be banned from the GM Mortensen household. He cannot be played anymore. He's been retired because he was so good that they had to retire him. Thank you.
Yeah. I remember that those days when basically we had McLean, we had another guy called Ray who was playing like a rogue. We had Felix, I think he was like a wizard or something, and someone else. I was DMing, and McLean, he was adamant. His character had to be named Fat Dwarf, which I just remember one particular scene when things went out of hand very quickly. Ray and you were beefing over something, right? And so Ray ended up challenging you to a duel.
Well, Ray was beefing with me because it was nighttime in the game and we're all sitting at a table. So anything my players hear me say, they know, but their characters don't know. So I say, let me roll for pickpocketing. And I pickpocket Ray of all his valuables. And then when Ray got mad, He tried to roll to discover. He failed. And the next morning, Ray has his character look for the stuff, and then he blames me. And I say, well, check me then. And Ray checks me, doesn't find anything, because I've rolled for concealment, and I won. And so then he challenged me to a duel. And instead of as a ranged character, he should have fought me from afar. I made him 1v1 me in a closed, confined space with my build as a dwarf with a huge shield and an axe. So we could see how that goes. I murder him. I take all his gear. Ray makes a new character. He comes back and wants to kill me, so I kill that character again.
Yes, Ray was a rogue, which is so supposed to be like a sneaky guy. And he was really quick, but not really strong, and sort of like an assassin type character. Very good at sneaking up. But McLean was a fighter whose literal job was to fight people, like in melee. And so when you put like a sneaky guy versus a fighter, you know, Ray quickly lost and died. And so then his next character was basically a character designed to destroy Fat Dwarf. That was his only motive. The character's name was Ali Baba. Okay. It was a barbarian with a great axe. And the only purpose of this character was immediately 1v1 Fat Dwarf and destroy him. Right. So I'm trying to like prevent this from happening. Right. Next session, we start out and they're like already beefing. And then suddenly I'm like, okay, now there's a war going on. It's hard to like hear everything. And there's like people attacking. So maybe you guys should like run away. Right. And Felix is like, yeah, we'll run away. And Ray's like, I want to like pole vault over a wall. So I don't know what he was doing. And then McLean's like, you know, rather than running away, I want to charge directly at the oncoming warships who have like trebuchets on them throwing fireballs because I'm mad you didn't give me a dragon egg.
I did get the dragon scales, but okay, not the egg.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really intent on the dragon egg.
Okay, well, in my defense, I wanted the dragon egg, and I charged those shits because I just watched How to Train Your Dragon 1, and that whole scene was like when Philip's dad went to go save Toothless when he was chained to the boat. So my mind was, if I charge into that boat, I could save the dragon egg from drowning.
Oh, God. Where were there dragons? What?
Well, there was no dragons, but there could have been a dragon egg stuck in the sinking boat. So that's why I charged those ships, because it reminded me of that big final fight scene between the Alpha Dragon and the Vikings in How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
And then I dove in water, and instead of, you know, swimming up like Philip's dad in How to Train Your Dragon does with the dragon Toothless, you have me drown, which I don't think is possible, because I said my dexterity built was very high on Fat Dwarf. He was a athlete amongst children.
Ladies and gentlemen, he charged a burning ship to see if there was a dragon egg on it because he saw How to Train Your Dragon. Meanwhile, Ray was pole vaulting as Ali Baba over walls and like getting caught by guards and having to run. And Felix is like, what's going on? Yeah, needless to say, that was the last time we played that current version of the Dungeons & Dragons.
There is no concrete evidence that Fat Dwarf is dead. He has retired, I'm using quotation marks, in person, and he could be in the shadows right now. Who knows?
Okay, I will admit, when we left off, there was no concrete proof that he was dead. It's true.
Thank you for that. Obviously, I admit that I wasn't the best player. From my viewpoint, and I'm really good friends with Ray, I love him, but it was just fun to mess with him and everyone at the table by purposely sabotaging their characters. I took joy in that. I did, I'll be honest. And it was also cool to imagine that I was in How to Train Your Dragon. So that was kind of my philosophy.
I mean, some of that was probably, I was trying to give you plot hooks. I was a new dungeon master, so I was less experienced. You know, I didn't know how much I could let you get away with. I don't know how concrete my storyline was.
It's a lifelong memory we now all share.
I got a lot better as a dungeon master. and more experienced going forward.
Realistically, you should thank me for creating adversity for you to grow as a human and as a dungeon master. Is that correct?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the guy who bullied and punched as a kid, right? And then later he was like a boxing champion because he decided to like make it so that nobody could ever do that again. So I was, you know, like pushed around and psychologically maneuvered by Fat Dwarf. And now I'm a great dungeon master because I was like, I don't think I want this to happen again.
Okay, you are not bullied. Let's set the record straight. If anyone out of the two of us bullied each other, you committed more physical violence upon my body than other people.
All right, let's not get into that part about how you have multiple teeth in my yard still.
That's funny.
No, I'm a big fan of Dungeons & Dragons when it's played right.
Yes, of course.
And those were fun times messing around, and I look back at them fondly. But I was very, very frustrated in the moment.
I understand. All right. I haven't been invited back, and I don't blame you for not inviting me back.
No, that's not... To be fair, I didn't really get back into DMing until you were mostly gone.
That's all right. I get pretty bored anyways, so...
The role-playing scene, there's Dungeons & Dragons, which is like the biggest name... Right. That's the biggest name brand, the one that people have heard the most. I played an adjacent game, which is very similar, called Pathfinder. Santa Claus dropped me off Pathfinder Beginner Box 1 year, and I kind of read the rules, sort of started learning it, but it didn't really hit until I'd say sixth or seventh grade was when I was invited over by Felix, and his dad DM'd for us. I was like, wow, this is incredible. I started really learning the rules, and I learned all the rules. At first, I was what's called a like min-maxer. I wanted to make the most powerful character, put all my skills and points into, like, for example, if I was a barbarian, into strength and all these strategic things, and then I'd like dump intelligence because intelligence was useless for me. I had a lot of fun just building characters and figuring out the strategy. I got really good at it, you know, because you are rewarded if you know the strategic element of the game. Kind of fun to make a powerful character do well fighting and that sort of thing. But I did kind of learn that it shouldn't be the focus of the game. You know, there's people who take that idea too far and they'll make like a, and they'll just make silly choices while making their character just because they're like, I'm not focused on min-maxing. I'm focused on role-playing only, and I'm not really about that philosophy. I'm about style, right? I want to make a character that people remember. One time, Felix was running a campaign. You could be like sort of like animal people almost. I wanted to be a chicken, and I was Sergeant Herman Cluck. He's just BS his way through everything. They called him Sergeant Herman Cluck the Unbroken because he had never been injured except for an eye. He had an eye patch and he would always be like, ah, it's like the jungles of 23. And and he just act like he was an old sergeant and he could play the bagpipes. And he was not great at fighting. He was good at some things. There was a lot of powerful people in that campaign that could have destroyed him, but he would just BS his way through. I like characters like that. But now I've moved into DMing more. So
what a perfect
like
segue, because my next question is, what are your do's and don'ts as a dungeon master?
As a dungeon master, if I was going to write a campaign, I would kind of just start creative writing to get into that mindset, and I would just start creating a world. Sometimes, like, for example, I created a map, and then I would do little creative writing exercises, you know, all around the map, and I would create a bunch of characters who lived in various places of the map. Inzaterim, the undead raven lord, or the Black Heart, a two-headed dragon, you know, and then I'd kind of get into their voice and write speeches according to how, you know, they saw themselves. That really helped. And I did that for month. So I had pages and pages of notes. I was a little crazy. If you're just starting out trying to run a game, you don't need to do all this. After months, then I started to work on like a concrete plot hook. Okay, my first plot hook to the players will be sort of maybe fight these monsters. What that background gave me is the ability to improvise during the game. If the characters looked at the map and they were very interested in a particular location, it wasn't like I was going to be amazing and immediately prepared, but I knew stuff about that location. Oh, they want to go over the mountains to Arkenheim. Next session, I'll be prepared. Okay, they'll fight the Yetis in the Snowy Pass. And then I like to write prophecies and give my players hooks and stuff. And so that was really helpful. And I'd always try and include some ambiguous things in the prophecy just so I could connect them back. It had been planned the whole time, right? That's my first sort of do. My second sort of don't is don't railroad the players. As a player, I would get really mad if somebody said like, okay, you know, here's a plot hook. You have to do that. Obviously, you want players who are excited about the little hints you give. Like, oh, there's an evil undead guy who lives in a dungeon nearby. Oh, they've discovered that. You want your players to go investigate instead of like, let's go to a completely opposite corner of the map. Luckily, I think when I was playing at first, you know, we were all inexperienced, but eventually people sort of started to become better players than, you know, sixth or seventh grade boys just messing around.
So there's a story that has passed by as a whisper in the wind of a good friend of ours, Alejandro, pulling the greatest betrayal of all time. Could you elaborate on this hilarious story and how you ultimately decided to maneuver the pieces into a place like the glorious Littlefinger from Game of Thrones?
As a dungeon master, I've gotten better, but I would also say I've gotten meaner. Far meaner. I'm ruthless. And my players know that about me. Dungeons & Dragons, historically, at the beginning, it was deadly. It was incredibly deadly. You would go to the dungeon and not expect to survive. Now, it's soft. So, you know, you might hear your grandparents being like, ah, kids are soft these days. Well, so is Dungeons & Dragons, right? So I kind of make it so my games are intentionally deadly. I throw my players up against threats that not a lot of dungeon masters would expect. So, yeah, occasionally a player does die. And that's what happened in the case of Alejandro's character. Boo-hoo. It was a very sad and powerful moment for them. And I felt, though, like I had done a good job because the players are not mad at me. They were mad at the mind flayers and their minions in the game. And that's how I know, oh, I did a good job, because they're not like, Ian, you made this game too hard. Now they're a part of the universe. So what happened was there's this creature and it called an intellect devourer that basically consumed Alejandro's character's mind. And it teleported inside his brain and ate him. And the other two players didn't know that. So it had all his memories and it wasn't exactly the same. And so then it was just walking around in his body for months. It could have summoned its allies to kill both of the players. However, it needed those players because in this particular region of my map, they were underground and they were going into this sort of dreamlike maze called Vyanagarthi. Vyanagarthi, it's connected to a bunch of points in the material realm. So you can kind of transport yourself super fast if you survive. But it's a terrifying place. You can only go to anywhere in Vyanagarthi if you've been there before, right? So only the two other players had been to this location, sort of their home village. And the Mind Flayer needed to like latch on to them to navigate to that village so it could attack them. AJ, who was now playing the Mind Flayer, went until they had almost gotten out of Vyanagarthi and he now could navigate to lead the Mind Flayers secretly. This was over months and months, this campaign. and he had been lying all the time. Finally, he made his betrayal. They had this glorious battle. So it was the Mind Flayers versus the Players versus leading bad guy of my campaign.
Well, yeah. Ian, thank you for coming on. Do you have any last words?
Well, I like monsters because I think they reflect certain things about us. So whenever somebody asks me what's my spirit animal, I ask them, or I'm going to now, what's their spirit monster, right? So I guess I'd ask you what your spirit monster is, McLean.
I would retort by saying, first off, my spirit animal is a whale shark because those are the coolest animals ever. It's like 150 feet long. All it does is it swims in warm water, and when it's hungry, it just opens its mouth, and then it's full. That's pretty cool. Spirit monster.
You better not say fat dwarf. You better not say that.
Oh, God, now I'm on the spot. Like, what do I say here that doesn't reflect poorly upon my character? And now I'm going to have a bunch of analysts and psychiatrists, when they look back to see where it all went wrong, it's going to be this moment right here, and they should have said this was a red flag. Someone should have noticed his answer. What are some monsters?
Well, I would say we can break it down by category. There's dragons, undead things. There's giants, there's like snake people, there's eldritch horrors. It could also be like something like an angel too. I guess, I don't know, I would accept that even though they're good.
Angel would be cool, but I like the hive mind from Tyranids. It's like a 40K method.
Yeah, I would say that's a very good choice for you. Is it like a demon or?
So basically, Tyranids are a swarm of aliens controlled by a singular hive mind that travels a galaxy, stripping all of its life and material for consumption as it continues to grow. And what they do is when they come into contact with humanity and like elves and space dwarves, there are such things as space dwarves. They produce eldritch alien horrors beyond human
comprehension. Yeah,
yeah, but I don't want to be one of those mindless drones. I want to be the hive mind itself.
That's awesome.
Because it faced against my I'm a Blood Angels fan, and it faced off with my beloved Blood Angels, and it hated them so much that it turned the direction away from like a luxurious path of food and consumption to go into the desert wastelands to just purely destroy them. And I love how spiteful it was that.
That's awesome.
But if we're doing, if we're going to count angels, I would say Blood Angels, which is a Warhammer 40K Space Marine, they're actually vampire themed. So that's technically a monster. Like they're consumed with their urge of thirsting on blood. But then at the same time, their gene fodder, Sanguinius, who is the OG, Alejandro knows him, Ian will know him soon. He was this mighty angel that had prophetic visions of his death, and he knew that by facing Horus at the end of the Siege of Terra, he would die, but he knew that by doing so, he would give the Emperor of Mankind a chance to defeat his son, because the Emperor of Mankind had 18 sons. I know I'm rambling. I'm going to stop because I could talk about like 3 hours just Warhammer. But
I unleashed something terrible.
You did. But anyways, Sanguinius died, and the death of Sanguinius fundamentally traumatized his sons, where they go into a black rage after living for so long. They start to see everyone as Horus, and they want to kill everyone and everything because they feel with this rage of needing a vengeance to avenge their gene father for the brutal murder. I mean, I have like the final Siege of Terra book, Ian, I'm not kidding, it's over 1500 pages at least. The Sanguinius has been fighting the forces of chaos and his 8 traitor legion brothers, because there's 18, 2 died mysteriously, 8 traitor, 8 loyal. He was fighting against the 8 traitor brothers of his that were Primarchs for like weeks straight. And then he went to go fight Horus, who's been sitting on his capital ship, being a little punk, doing nothing. It was really sad to read that part because it was brutality. There was no mercy. I mean, like, he broke his brother's wings and like, look how the feathers fall with blood on them. And you're just like crying on the inside. You're like, no. That's when my trauma really began. Okay, that was a ramble. Big sky, smaller, dark, and I'm high, mountain, alone.
Thank you for tuning in to Big Sky Small World. Theme music is by Alex Coulter. Please follow and leave comments on Instagram at bigsky.smallworld. Tune in next week.